Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 432 of the Really Awful Movies podcast. Demonia. Wow, this is really a weird one, and hardly among Lucio Fulci's best efforts right out of the gate. Gates of Hell being obviously what he was best known for, at least for us horror fans. But it's funny. This is one that was released around the same time as Touch of Death, which, as silly as it is, I'm also quite fond of too, with its chainsaw theatrics. And it's admittedly, not Il Maestro's in among his best work, but there's still something to be said for the straight-to-video releases that he did far later in life. And we're talking the 90s now, and obviously he hit his stride and hit his peak as far as horror is concerned from the late 70s onward. But Demonia, what a fun film. One of his later efforts, direct to video, and makes use of gorgeous locale of the island of Sicily, obviously, where Michael Corleone goes and takes refuge in The Godfather. But it's amazing, like just a beautiful backdrop to what is essentially a hodgepodge and a bouillabaisse of different genres slapped together somewhat haphazardly, with allusions to some of Fulci's earlier giallo work, but also a little nod to the nunsploitation genre, which I think by that point it had somewhat petered out as well, and which had its heyday in the early 80s and late 70s as well. So a very strange supernatural film, but again, something that ties in to some of the previous themes that Fulci had been working his way through with some of his earlier work, Woman in a Lizard's Skin on the giallo side, and Don't Torture a Duckling, but obviously his canonical Gates of Hell trilogy and some of these films, to which this one directly relates, at least on the seance side of things, where you have a seance playing a huge part in the development of the story in a big city, much as it does in the way of City of the Living Dead, which has a soothsayer conducting a seance who looks a lot like the Canadian author Margaret Atwood. It's uncanny, a spitting image. But and speaking of Canadiana, this one really delighted me here, because when I was scrolling through Instagram, I found out that it was, and talk about how this will make you feel old, but it's the 25th anniversary of Urban Legend, the Robert Englund film. That one is set on the University of Toronto campus and has tons of buildings that lots of alum and current students would recognize for sure. And it's one of the many films that have been shot around the University of Toronto, including some scenes from Black Christmas, but tons of horror films and a lot of sci-fi have been filmed there as well. So imagine my delight when I encounter, by way of Demonia, a reference to the University of Toronto. It's just, who would have seen that coming? It's certainly not me. The chief principal here is an archaeologist who is a University of Toronto faculty member, and he's doing an archaeological dig to explore the Greek ruins, for which a lot of southern Italy, for those who don't know, is very, very well known, and particularly Calabria, but Sicily a lot, with cities like Syracuse taking us back to antiquity and thousands of year old cities. So really amazing. And again, like when you have an archaeological dig, it's got to warm your heart as a horror fan, whether it's something like The Exorcist or The Ruins or The Mummy or some of the Karloff films. Man, an archaeological dig is just so cool, because you know something bad is going to happen. You know you're messing about with something that you shouldn't be. And some of the villagers in this Sicilian town say that as much, saying, I think they reference some sort of local saying about how the dead should be kept in the past or something to that effect. You know, let sleeping dogs lie, or the equivalent in Sicilian dialect sl/ Italian. So we have this Professor Evans, University of Toronto professor who's on this mission and on this dig, and you're introduced to one of his grad students by way of all things a seance in, of all places, Toronto. I mean, I nearly fell off the sofa seeing that, because I just don't associate the golden age of Italian horror cinema with my home base here in TO. So I just thought this was so wild. And again, alluding to City of the Living Dead with a seance soothsayer there. Similarly, you had a big city that held a seance, and then you had the principals involved in some way commuting with the great hereafter and having that further the plot. Now, in this case, one of the grad students under Evans, his name is Eliza, she has this vision, and it's an intoxicating, captivating, horrific, terrifying vision of five nuns being crucified in 15th century Sicily for what we later find out are these sexual transgressions. So she has these visions, and Fulci introduces us to these sisters, sorella in Italian, who get crucified with the nails through the chest, I should say very unconvincingly, but in a way that, conjures up, I think, probably a little bit of maybe a Black Sabbath, Black Sunday or Black Sabbath? A certain comparable scene in that one, but you see this vision, and it's in the dusty basement of a cathedral, and the villagers again set upon these women and just kill them. This is what furthers what little of the plot there is in Demonia forward. Now, should mention that Professor Evans here of the U of T is played by Brett Halsey, who our genre heads will recognize from, of course, Cat in the Brain, the other 90s Fulci effort that isn't spoken of in the same hushed tones as some of his canonical work. I mean, I'm personally just really big on City of the Living Dead and Zombie 2, and these films are just so iconic and so awesome and so memorable. I mean, the Beyond is, well, in a category of its own, a Beyond, if you will, others of its ilk too. And just the gore and the sensibilities that Fulci brought to bear. And of course, New York Ripper, which a lot of people hold in the highest esteem, yours truly included. Really, really gripping film. So and at the site of this archaeological dig in Sicily, you have these pseudo-Irish helpers who wear like cable knit sweaters and drink whiskey like they're back in the county down or whatever. I mean, it's they're singing like Molly Malone by Campfire, which is a Dubliner's traditional Irish song, and this is just so ludicrous. And in one instance, there's actually a reference to whether their Irish accents are even fake. So I'm not sure to the extent that they're supposed to be Irish. It's just one of the many weird things about this movie. Anyway, a couple of these workers, these Irish sods, are into the drink, and they are stumbling around some crypt, and they fall onto some spikes, and they're later found and whisked away by ambulance. And, well, as it turns out, poking around in this Sicilian town on your archaeological dig, despite the fact that Sicilian lore is not artifacts are not the focus of the project, as the professor Dooley points out, his interests lie in Greek antiquity and not weird 15th century Sicilian, whatever happened to these poor souls, these poor nuns. But anyway, the villagers in this town are not responsive to this dig going on in their backyard. You know, this is the talk of the town amongst all the townsfolk. Genre fans will spot one of the attendees of the cinema screening in Berlin of the movie Demons, the Lamberto Bava directed film. So there's a couple of principles people will recognize right off the bat if they're into the golden era of Italian horror, as we are, as I am. These couple of deaths, these accidents, if you will, are not the first or only calamities that befall this rather cursed dig. In fact, later on, a succubus-type topless figure emerges inside a boat and shoots one of the archaeologist assistants with a harpoon. And so you have this body count is starting to amass, and the townsfolk really want this project to be stopped. Meanwhile, Professor Evans is dogged in his pursuit of science and the truth and whatnot, and he wants the mission to continue. And he's at loggerheads with Liza, who during this period is experiencing these visions and exploring these dusty crypts. And you gotta love this stuff. I mean, these sinister, dark hallways and these explorations of these desiccated crypts. So there's something so heartwarming about this. And I'm gonna have to, you know, put a caveat to this one, as I enjoyed this one immensely. And as we were in discussions last week about popcorn and the dearth of 90s horror that is actually of really good quality, I'm probably gonna just... My love for Italian horror is clouding my judgment somewhat, that I'm probably going to have to take a star off this movie if you were just an ordinary viewer of it, and not taking into account, you know, my passion for this region and for these types of films. But, I mean, this is realistically a 3 out of 5 film, but there's just so many neat ways that Fulci brings his sensibilities into the proceedings. I mean, there's cats galore in this thing, obviously, because, you know, Cat in the Brain was filmed simultaneously, but also... what's become his trademark is the eyes, you know, the windows to the soul, the peepers, and it's something that I want to say he's explored, but he's really laid waste to in lots of his films. And the zombie infamously has a shard of glass go in to the to breach the ocular space and cause trauma to the space in a really, really like stomach churning and really, really compelling way. And similarly here, although in a completely different way, he manages to provide a similar scare. And I don't want to spoil it, but it's wild. I mean, it's both funny and grotesque. And I think a lot of fans will really come to appreciate that. But there's also, I mean, the kind of thing he would have explored in his Gates of Hell trilogy, as the name would suggest, opening a portal to hell. And one of the characters here, Turi, who runs a meat shop, and hilariously, the fact that he's a butcher, puts him in the line of fire with attending police detectives. I'm like, just because someone knows his way around a knife doesn't mean he would be responsible for certain people's deaths, especially considering one was by harpoon, and there's no one-to-one relationship, but as is par for the course in these types of films, I mean, the Gialli films in particular run the gamut from having their I's dotted and their T's crossed all the way through, so where the denouement cannot possibly be guessed, to ones where they really are so poorly constructed that you can guess the killer right away. But obviously the better ones, you're left hanging toward the very end, and not that this is a giallo, but it contains some of the elements sometimes, you know, a figure will be lurking and you're not exactly sure what's what, and the body count just amasses, and it's not your conventional standard antagonist just picking people off one at a time. So it's got that, and stylistically it has some of these things in common, but it's more along the lines of it has a lot of supernatural elements too, with a set of ghostly chimerical figure of Liza sort of appearing and disappearing in different parts of the townscape and different parts of the castles and cathedrals and churches that she's exploring. I mean, a lot of the stuff is just really makes use of stylistically of a lot of these this amazing small town Sicily, and you have some of the like the shakier camera zoom aspects that Fulci's sort of known for, and this stuff is replete with that. But I mean, I love this, and right out of the gate, you're just introduced to something so gripping and so enticing when you have these villagers setting upon these the sisters, and it's always refreshing to see something that wastes no time in getting started, and Demonia really doesn't. You're just thrown into the proceedings right away, and then you're taken to the seance, and you have this principal pass out right away, and then sure, there are a few talky moments as you're taken to the archaeological site and introduced to this disparate group of sort of pseudo-Irishmen, but that's all in favor of this orthogonal and not exactly a straightforward narrative. But, I really dig this, pardon the pun, film, and it's super fun. I mean, sure, it's not as good as New York Ripper. It's not as good as The Beyond. But it's something that warrants a lot more attention and hasn't gotten the appreciation that I think it has because of its genre-bending sensibilities and the fact that it has a certain corniness and a certain cheesiness and a certain stiltedness. And Allah is presumably who someone would be his... one of his influences would be Hitch, but Fulci again makes an appearance here as Inspector Carter, who's investigating the spate of death that's occurred in this small town ever since the onset of the archaeological dig. And he's actually quite terrific here as well, and pressing different people about what they know or don't know about the bodies that have been piling up. And this stuff is great. I mean, I think he's at his best here in terms of inserting himself into one of his movies. His character's super fun. I think the ADR is actually pretty good in this movie too, which I think as he got toward the 90s, I guess they were taking more of consideration for that. And Fulci also, it should be noted, co-wrote the screenplay here. And yeah, again, it's this is replete with fun characters and just a great scene setting. And also a dynamite fringe character of this witch who appears to Liza in this dusty, this very decrepit record-keeping center. And these are actually throughout southern Italy. And you can, you know, if I ever have designs on seeing if I can expedite a Euro passport through my dad, this is one of the places I'll no doubt have to visit to dig up his maybe original birth certificate or God knows what. But these places... There's a dusty tome that's is the key to whatever's going on, and Liza investigates, and then this witchly figure appears to her in this hall of records and says, you know, meet me on the outskirts of the city. I have this house, you can't miss it. And then the two of them interface to further the story along. There's just great characters. While admittedly some of the deaths aren't exactly the most riveting, especially when it comes to some of the bloodletting and the gut munching that we know Fulci for, and especially the movie he did around the same time, which is Touch of Death, which is super gory as well. This one has, dare we say, a little bit of restraint too, and I don't think that necessarily is a bad thing, because we have a climax that involves, again, the eyes, that is just super iconic and super interesting in the context of some of Fulci's other canonical movies that I just love. I mean, I love this film so much, and I'm not going to defend this one to the death that it's justifiably. I mean, by my tastes and my standards, this is a 4 out of 5, but, you know, dispassionately taking a step back and examining this within his oeuvre, within his body of work, and as a dispassionate, dedicated horror fan, you're going to probably give this 2 3/4, but a solid 3, as just a way, as a means of understanding and putting context to Fulci's other work. But there's just so many cool things. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Like, a well-known, internationally respected University of Toronto professor. It's almost like a Marshall McLuhan or you know, Steve Mann, the robotics guy, or like a Jordan Peterson or somebody. It's like a University of Toronto. And it's so funny too, because this obviously, had it been lensed today, would have probably referenced a fictional university, because people don't want to get into thorny issues of having actual campuses be, you know, and actual institutions being the setting for these types of schlocky movies. So, but it's just really cool to see and really cool to experience. And actually, when Inspector Carter is investigating Professor Evans, they do find out that he was involved in some kind of tete-a-tete with another archaeological colleague whose specialty was marine archaeology rather than his specialty, as they hilariously put it, mine is on land. Like, what a distinction. Like, I didn't know that was... I would have thought it would be more the time period you are an expert in that would define what kind of archaeologist you are, not rather where you would do something on, you know, in land or sea. It's an absurd idea, especially since so many, let's say, Roman ruins, if that was your interest, archaeologically speaking, would be found in maybe old galley ships that the Roman Empire must have had at the time, and associated weaponry and whatnot. So you can't make such a silly distinction, but this is a silly movie, undoubtedly, and I learned a lot of things from it, but it's just like, there's something about Fulci and Italian horror, whether it's Bava and, Lamberto or Mario, and obviously Dario Argento, such icons and such, you know, your Mount Rushmore of horror is so... You know, I mean, it wouldn't be the same without these guys. And I think people's horror viewing experience, whenever they discover this subset of horror, I think it really gets people down the rabbit hole and gets people exploring Gialli and movies like Torso and that kind of thing, and really developing a more fulsome understanding of the cultural connections that Italian cinema has to Catholicism, and especially the topsy-turvy, I guess, politics that were happening at the time in the 70s and 80s, and going on till today, too, because it's just a crap show, their political system. But yeah, this one, Demonia, is so interesting, so weird, so silly, so fun. One set piece of gore that's really quite outstanding, and lots of good procedural elements that are fun. I really, really dug the Molly Malone song, there's also a ridiculous kid whose name, if I'm not mistaken, is Bobby. So I mean, Bob is such a common sort of American name for that Italian horrors frequently use. And I should also say that Canadiana, the presence of a local apparel brand called Roots in a couple of occasions, once in the professor's study or office, and another, he was wearing this Roots jacket, and it's sort of an iconic fashion label that has a beaver on it, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And it's, you know, it used to be incredibly popular with kids like 20 years ago, and I think less so now, but it still has a presence, and it's just so funny. He's wearing this Canadian flag Roots like varsity jacket. And like, why would a professor wear a varsity jacket? I don't know. But there's so many questions this one brings up. Maybe it doesn't answer them all, but it should if you're asking, like, is there a Fulci movie that I really need to see to really put his work into perspective and really, you know, show diverse elements of what he's capable of, and still ladders back to some of the, you know, Portal to Hell and Supernatural and these kinds of elements while exploring another genre too in the nunsploitation. I think Demonia is it, and I had a lot of fun with this. Maybe a lot of liaisoning with horror films is mood dependent, and I was in a particularly good one after having my spirits elevated by the excellent popcorn. But this one is really, really good too. So between a 3 and a 4, depending on how you feel about Fulci and Italian horror, I really, really found this one captivating from start to finish. A short one, a fun one. You'll enjoy it. Hope you continue to enjoy the podcast. Talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.